Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast with Pastor Bob Thibodeau. Pastor Bob conducts personal interviews with Christian influencers from around the globe, helping Christian authors, recording artists, CEOs, entrepreneurs, nonprofit leaders, and yes, pastors and ministry leaders to get the word out about what they are doing to impact the world with the gospel. Our podcast has been rated in the top 0.5% of all podcasts in the world by ListenNotes.com, so you know your message will be heard. Now, here is your host with today's interview, Pastor Bob Thibodeau.
Hello, everyone, everywhere. Pastor Robert Thibodeau here. Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast today. We're so blessed that you're joining us for part two of a great interview with Fred Stoker. Now, Fred, if you missed part one, first, you need to go back and catch up because he covered things that we just don't have time to go back over again. But Fred's background, for 25 years or so, maybe more, he has been helping men to overcome problems with pornography. But not just that part, but also he's been helping families overcome it, husbands and wives working together to overcome this. And something he shared with us in part one of this interview here was that women are struggling with pornography at an even greater rate than what men are. Oh, yeah, that's something new. So we're going to jump back into this interview now. You need to make sure that you pay attention. Click the links down below. You know, get in touch with Fred. Ask your questions. Order his books, because this is something that the devil is using right now that affects every single family. Amen. In this culture we live in, this is a major attack by the devil, and you need to be aware of it. So let's jump back into the interview now with Fred Stoker. You also have a section that I'm providing a clear path for avoiding or ending addictive behavior. Can you share a little bit about that with us?
Yes. I mean, I kind of coined a phrase that has become really well known now in Christian circles. I coined the phrase in my book called Bouncing My Eyes. And the reason why I came up with that is that when it was time for me to fight my battle back in the 1980s, that was the first thing that the Holy Spirit taught me, was that I needed to learn how to bounce my eyes away from the sensual things in my environment. And so, you know, a lot of people talk about it, first look, second look. I didn't waste my time trying to figure out first look and second look. I just figure, okay, when it's time, when I see a woman in a string bikini, my eyes bounce away. When I see a woman in tight clothes at the mall, maybe yoga pants, whatever, my eyes bounce away. The literal truth is that I have no right to get any sexual gratification from anyone in the earth except my wife, right? Yeah. So I can't be lusting. I can't be looking. And those responses in the human brain are instantaneous if you continue to look. So one story I always like to share is a story about my son, my youngest son, Michael. And I remember I was writing one of my books. I have no idea which one, but it was winter time in Iowa and it's cabin fever time. And my wife just needed to get out of the house. I was in the basement on a Saturday and I was writing, and so I was not going to be around to entertain her or anything like that. So she took my two daughters and my youngest son off to the mall. And I remember when they came back, well, literally, I was sitting right where I'm sitting right here writing, and I could hear the stairs are right behind me. You can't see that in the screen because I have a background up there, but I could hear them come in and I could hear them drop packages on the floor. I mean, I knew I was poorer, right? I mean, they'd spent some money. And then it got quiet. I heard my girls run upstairs and then it got quiet and I just kept typing. What I didn't know what was happening was this. So my wife was organizing some things in the kitchen, and my youngest son, he's 11 at the time, he came up and hugged her from behind. He was only tall enough to get around her thighs, and just giving her a hug. And she turned around, she said, "Michael, I love you too." And then he gave a laser look right into her eyes. I mean, he had hugged her because he was troubled. It wasn't because he loved her, although he does love her, right? But he said, "Mom, how do you get pictures of women in their underwear out of your head?" And she was shocked when she said, like any good mother would do, I suppose, she said, you know, that's a good question for your dad. She kind of bailed on that. But she said, before you go down and talk to him, tell me, what pictures of women in their underwear are you talking about? And he said, well, I was walking past the Secret store today in the mall, which of course is Victoria's Secret. Mm-hmm. And I looked up into that window and I haven't been able to get those images out of my brain all day, or hit those pictures. And so Michael came down and it was a great opportunity to really talk about bouncing the eyes, because here's the deal. When it comes to looking at something that's sensual, what happens, Marianne Layden, who is probably the leading doctor in America, scientist that studies sexual sin in men. And what she has said is that when you look at something sensual, there is a chemical reaction that locks that picture into your brain for the rest of your life. And I can tell you, if I want to, I can bring up a picture of Suzanne Somers I saw in a waterfall naked back in the 1970s. That image is still in my brain. I mean, all of us as men, we understand that which happens. And I explained that to Michael that morning or that afternoon, and I explained to him what I do to bounce my eyes when I'm walking through the mall and I'm walking by the Secret store. I literally know where that store is, and as I get near it, I'm just looking the other direction. And he felt so calm to understand that, oh gosh, okay, there's something I can do. There's something that Dad understands here, and he's taught me I can do this. And he's been bouncing his eyes since he's 11. And it's been a wonderful thing to watch my son. I mean, another good story. This was when he was 14. We were lifting weights. He's trying to become a football player. And we were in the gym, and these three girls bouncing. It was mostly guys down there all the time, because we always worked out in the place that was cement and free weights and stinky, and nobody ever comes down there but guys. But these three girls bounced down there and, you know, these, oh, I don't know, they call them wife beater t-shirts. I mean, they came down and they were hanging out all over the place. And all the other guys there were just telescoping eyes, boing, boing, boing. And later, as we were leaving the club, Michael said to me, Dad, I don't think girls should be allowed to lift weights. And I said, well, okay. And he said, well, it's not that they shouldn't lift weights, it's just that. And I said, because of what they were wearing today, right, Michael? And he kind of looked at me and said, well, yeah, how did you know? Kind of like, and I said, son, and he said, don't they know what they do to us when they wear clothes like that? And I said, I've come to understand, son, that it doesn't matter if they do or they don't. Some do understand, some don't. But what really matters is what we do. And I said, next time something like that happens, and if you're lifting weights, I'll just turn my back to them and keep track of them in my peripheral vision, because you can't lust out of your peripheral vision. And then when I'm lifting, you keep your back to them, just keep track of where they're at, and they'll have no impact on us. And so we were driving home. About 5 minutes later, he was totally silent that whole time. And he turned to me, he said, Dad, I'm so glad you told me about peripheral vision. I would have never known that on my own. And that really helps me. Amen. You see, amen. We can help our sons, yeah, if we're honest about it. But the thing is, you need to understand how to defend yourself, so you have something to teach your sons. And that's how we can, as a Christian church, become healthier and stronger over time. If we will submit to God's ways, if we will do what he asks us to do, and then teach our children, we wouldn't have all these issues where our young men in our churches literally can't get erections with their wives when they get married on their wedding night. It's crazy.
Crazy. Amen. Share with us about your living true ministries, and how has your ministry evolved since you started that?
Well, it's, I have this ministry, but I also have a day job. Okay. So I do both. And what Living True Ministries is it's basically my speaking arm. I mean, people contact me, want me to come share what I know, you know, at their churches. And then I do. And I mean, Bob, it's crazy, but I have been televised into over 59 nations without, I mean, I just have. And I have also spoken into, I've spoken in Indonesia. I've spoken in South Africa. I've spoken in Ireland. I mean, I can't believe what God has done. I mean, you heard my story at the beginning. I mean, I'm just a guy that got married and then my sexual sin chased me in. And then I finally had to realize, okay, this has to die. And then God taps me on the shoulder to write. And then all of a sudden I'm all over the earth speaking. It's wild. I mean, I didn't dream it. I didn't envision it. I wouldn't have had that lack of humility to dream something like that, I guess. I mean, I just wanted a voice in his kingdom. Well, okay. Well, I guess I've got one, right?
Amen. Amen. Yeah. Explain your motto, to be rather than to seem.
Okay. Yeah. You know, it's interesting. I'm kind of, some people would say I'm unusual, but when I became a Christian, it seemed to me, and it didn't take me long when I got into churches and stuff, it became pretty clear to me pretty fast that there were a lot of people that were, they go to church every week, but they don't literally look like Christians during the week. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah,
amen. And so I made it my family crest before we even had a family. I mean, I remember talking to Brenda about it. I mean, that, you know, it's important to be a Christian, not just seem like one. And when I say seem, I mean going to church and talking the talk and all that sort of stuff. I wanted to be a Christian. And what that means is, to me, is that I am learning God's ways and then applying those and being those things. So if God says in Ephesians 5:3, you're not to have even a hint of sexual immorality in your life, that's who I'm supposed to be. I'm not supposed to just seem like that and talk about the fact that, yeah, purity is important. I'm supposed to literally be that when nobody's around. I'm supposed to be that way at 3 a.m, 3 p.m, 6 p.m. I mean, whether I'm alone with my computer, I mean, you know, I told you earlier, I haven't masturbated in 30 years. Bob, I can literally honestly tell you, I have not been on a computer and looked for something racy to look at in over 30 years.
Yeah.
Amen. That's actually possible. That is the living out of Ephesians 5:3. I don't joke about sexual things because in Ephesians 5:4 it says that we're not to even joke about these things. And you know, what I find, Bob, is that people don't even read their Bibles very much as I think that really they need to in order to learn what these ways are. Sometimes when I tell people about Ephesians 5:3, they've never heard of it. That we're to have not even a hint, you know. And so, again, it's probably a longer answer than you needed. But for me, Scripture defines what it means to be a Christian. And we need to be that, not just seem like that.
Brent, how many books have you authored over the years?
Oh, I would say 10. I have helped author some others. But 10 would be mine. And the 10th one is called Battle On, Battle Over. And here's the interesting thing. Okay, we've been talking about every man's battle. In every man's battle, I talk about the first vulnerability in male sexuality that really takes us down. Okay, and that is our eyes and our mind that allow us to draw sexual gratification out of our environment. I mean, I have the same reactions, again, looking at the girl in the string bikini in my brain chemically as I do when I'm stroking my wife's breast or stroking her thigh. It's the same thing. Okay, so obviously that sets us up for disaster as men if we don't learn to control it. I mean, that's why I taught my sons early in the ways I've already spoken about earlier in this broadcast. We are literally set up to fail by the way we're created. Now, we don't have to fail. I mean, we can literally be Christians and follow God's laws, but we often do because, like I said earlier, we don't know about this aspect of our character until we're well addicted. Okay, so that's that first vulnerability. And this newest book I've written called Battle On, Battle Over, I've written it with Brenda. It is our second major vulnerability. And you might say, okay, why did it take all these years before you wrote this? It just seems like the proper time right now. And God never really moved on me. I mean, I always knew there was this second vulnerability that we have. But the interesting thing about the second vulnerability, Bob, is that it's in both men and women. So it's not just a male vulnerability. It's in both men and women. And, really? And I am sure you know, because you're so well-informed because of your ministry, that women are being addicted to porn now in ways that we never understood it was even possible.
Right, exactly, yeah.
Yeah, and percentages are just going through the roof. So in this new book, it's literally addressed to both the male reader and the female reader. In fact, Brenda wrote chapter 3, and it's about female sexual addiction and why it happens. And essentially what it is that here's what happened to me, Bob. So the Holy Spirit, like I told you, immediately told me I needed to learn how to control my eyes and mind if I was ever going to be free. And I immediately did anything that he said. And I outline all of this in the book, Every Man's Battle, and what I did, the practical steps I took to train my mind not to lust and train my eyes not to lust. Well, what happened was, is that got me free largely. Okay. And when it came to lust and that first vulnerability, I was 100%. I had that controlled. But a wild thing began to happen. Somehow, even though my eye lust, my mind lust disappeared, the masturbation still held on. And I couldn't understand why that was, because I wasn't feeding myself with the sensual stuff. And as I began to really study my life, I realized that the masturbation was now only happening at one time, and it was happening at night. Basically in my office, I was in sales and I was, I was in full commission sales. And if you don't sell something, your family doesn't eat. That's a lot of pressure. Okay. Yeah. And a lot of my office work had to be done at night, because during the day I had to be out selling stuff. And what I began to find out was that, on the nights when my financial pressure was the heaviest, those were the nights I would masturbate. And then I also found that it was related to my sense of manhood. I didn't really believe I belonged in the world of men. My dad never believed I belonged in the world of men. He was very clear about that. And I just didn't know how to manhood. My own manhood was questionable to me. And I also found when that struggle was strongest at night, I would masturbate. And it became clear to me over time was that there was another vulnerability in me that I didn't realize at first. And it was this, that my sexuality is really tied to my emotions and my wounds. And so I was still medicating my wounds and my emotions, the financial stress, with masturbation, even though I wasn't filling my mind with all the lust during the day. And once I found that out, I began to take those stresses to God in prayer instead of taking things into my own hands with masturbation, so to say. And the rest of my impurity instantly stopped. And here's what I found, Bob, is that most men never make that connection. They don't realize that part of their sexual sin is literally non-sexual at its root. Financial stress is not sexual at its root. Your sense of manhood is not sexual at its root. And yet, though that pain and those wounds were driving a part of my sexual sin. Now, part of my sexual sin earlier had been driven by my lust and my that chemistry. But there's a corner of it that was being driven by non-sexual roots. Once I made the connection between the fact that sexual sin could have non-sexual roots, you can deal with it pretty quickly. And in my book, Battle On, Battle Over, that's what I talk about, is how to deal with that aspect, those wounds, that the stresses in your life. And the funny thing is, Bob, is that that's why women are being hooked these days. Yeah, there's two steps in the process, okay? Women also, of course, have stress and pain and wounds, and they can also medicate that with sexual things. The only thing is their sexuality is different from ours. Ours is very visual, okay? Women, their sexuality is very relational. And so here's what's happened. The pornographers have figured that out. And so they started to create female porn with romantic themes, all right? And whereas you and I know that there really isn't such a thing as porn with a romance to it, you can create garbage like 50 Shades of Grey, and you can create streaming video, porn videos with romantic themes. And so women will go online, well, what's the big deal about porn? They'll view some of that, and boom, the chemistry will hit them because that's how their sexuality is created. And so then suddenly they're hooked. I mean, women do not get turned on by just static images of a naked body of a guy. I mean, if you go back into the 70s when Playgirl magazine came out, it went bankrupt for lack of interest. Yeah. Women don't care about just naked pictures. But if you tie in romance and make it into a video, they're hooked. And that's what we're seeing today. And so in this book, Battle On, Battle Over, which, by the way, can be pre-ordered right now at the website, battleonbattleover.com. That book, I mean, if you're a woman struggling, you can get this book and you will get free, I promise you. And you guys who read Every Man's Battle and you're mostly free, but you still have these edges you're struggling with, my bet is that you haven't made the connection between your non-sexual roots and your sexual sin. And if you would learn about that through Battle On, Battle Over, you can be 100% free. And 30 years from now, you can say, I haven't masturbated in 30 years.
Yeah, man. I was going to ask, it was available for pre-order. Fred, this has been so interesting. If someone wanted to reach out to ask a question or find more information, how can they do that? How can someone get in touch with you?
Well, there's fredstoker.com is my website, and you can contact me through that website. You can also, that's the best way.
Okay. All right. Outstanding. And the books are available for sale on your website as well as on Amazon and all that?
Yes. All my books are available on fredstoker.com, except right now, Battle On, Battle Over has its own website, which is called battleonbattleover.com. You can order that one there. It is not yet available on Amazon, but it will be later. In fact, next week I'm going down to tape it in Charlotte. I'm going to tape the book, so it'll be available in audio as well. It'll soon be available in ebook as well. So we're going to hit all the avenues, but for right now, it's just battleonbattleover.com.
Man, hey, man, that's awesome. Folks, the things Fred Stoker shared with us is real. I mean, men struggle with these issues. I'll say all the time. We may not like to admit it, but we do. Fred has not only discovered the true secret to overcoming the enemy's attacks on our minds and our marriages, he shares steps you can take to win the battle, yes. Praise God. Think about this. Destroying the marriage covenant is the first thing the devil attacked in the Garden of Eden, trying to bring separation between the man and the woman. Nothing the devil does is new. He's still doing the same things today that he's always done. But with these books published by Fred Stoker and his ministry, you can learn to walk in victory. You can learn to strengthen the marriage bond before it becomes broken. You can learn how to restore the marriage bond and strengthen it if something does happen to you. Do not allow this opportunity to pass, folks. You are listening to this episode today for a reason. God had preordained before the foundation of the world for you to be listening to this episode up to this point right now. Amen. Don't shut me down when I'm preaching good. You know what I'm talking about. Drop down into the show notes right now. Click the links right there. Reach out to Fred Stoker. Check out his website. Check out the resources there. Check out the published books he's authored and co-authored. They're all on the website. Let Fred Stoker guide you through self-discovery and Bible study, equipping you with a practical battle plan to live a pure life God's way, even in the midst of a sexually soaked culture. Start taking back your life right now, taking back your marriage right now. Be sure to order a copy of the updated Every Man's Battle by clicking the link down below and order your copy today. Fred, oh man, it's been good. I do appreciate your time coming on the program today. Tell us all about your great ministry. I just thank you for taking the time to do that.
Bob, this has been fun. In fact, I thought we were only talking for about 5 minutes. I had no idea. I mean, this really flew. I appreciate your ministry so much, and I appreciate you. I love your personality. I'd love
to appreciate
you.
It, brother. Amen. Yep. I appreciate it. Folks, that is all the time we have for today. For Fred Stoker, myself, this Pastor Bob reminding you to be blessed in all that you do.
Thank you for listening to today's episode of the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast. Please subscribe to our podcast so you can be notified when another episode is published. With over 800 interviews and 1,000 published episodes, Pastor Bob is known as a podcasting expert for helping others to create their own podcast to share their messages with the world. Please visit our website at www.podcastersforchrist.com. That web address again is www.podcastersforchrist.com for more information. Until next time, be blessed in all that you do.
Are you a Christian entrepreneur, coach, or author with a message that needs to be heard? Picture this: your voice reaching thousands, your story inspiring hearts, and your business flourishing like never before. Introducing Faithcasters, the ultimate platform that connects faith-driven professionals like you with the power of podcasting. Become a sought-after guest on faith-based podcasts, share your unique insights, and connect with like-minded individuals who share your passion for faith and entrepreneurship as well. Imagine your expertise reaching a wider audience, expanding your network, and propelling your business to new heights. Well, it's all within reach with Faithcasters. So don't wait. Take the first step today on your journey to greatness by visiting our website at faithcaster.org. That's faithcaster.org. Join the Faithcasters community now and unleash the full potential of your faith-driven enterprise. You do not want to miss this opportunity. Faithcasters, where faith meets podcasting and your dreams become reality. Visit faithcaster.org. Let's soar together. And remember, anyone can be a podcaster, but only a Christian can become a Faithcaster. Faithcasters, your voice, your platform, your success.